Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Marketing Corner.
Whoop, whoop.
Jen always does that. It, like, never gets me. Anyways, today is episode 75.
Yep.
And we have a guest in the studio.
Whoop, whoop. Literally.
Literally in the studio, a guest. Physically, face to face, which is not normally what we do.
No.
But it's a special occasion kind of thing. So we have Frederick from Sparkle Horse.
Sparkle Horse.
Spark Force. Had to do it. Frederick. And Frederick is a partner and recently joined Spark Force in December. Hey, Frederick.
Hey, Casper.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. We see each other every day, so yeah. It's kind of weird.
Lucky you.
So I'm gonna let Jen do most of the talking this episode, because otherwise it gets even more awkward.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a two-part episode. We're going to first talk a little bit about Frederick's journey, how he got here, a little bit, like, learn a little bit about him, some of his fuck-ups, if you can talk about those.
I will.
Yeah.
In front of his boss.
Yeah, I love it. Big fart. Big fart.
We are partners, so.
Partners. Yeah, partners. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, please. Jen.
Cut that.
Right.
Cut that.
That's fine. And the next episode, then, we're going to be talking a little bit more about B2B marketing. So a little bit more cool stuff.
Nice.
Sure.
Sounds right. Great. So over to you, Frederick.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself.
My name is Frederick, and I've been working in B2B for, I think, 4 years, and in marketing in total for, whatever, since, holy fuck, it's been a while, since 2017, I think. That was kind of the early starts of me in marketing, but it wasn't really in the cards that I should be should do marketing. I wanted to be a physiotherapist.
What?
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
No. And here's the dirty deeds. So that was actually, I spent years being a personal trainer, and I enjoyed working out, and I know you can't tell, but I did. So I applied to be a physiotherapist, and I got declined on that. So what happened was I then started on my third gap year, a little bit unintentional, and that sucked. And then I landed in a telemarketing agency. I was one of those people who called people.
Been
selling.
There.
And every good person who's ever had success in life has been a telemarketeer.
Yes.
I just got to say it. Like, I've met a lot of successful people, and all of them started in telemarketing.
I was a telemarketer.
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
I sold electricity on subscriptions.
Right. Yeah.
So I was, you know. I sold once to a guy. He was clearly drunk. I sold him the big subscription, right? So I did that, and I was very intrigued about everything. I wasn't very much into selling electricity, but I was very much into everything going around inside of the business, and like the deals they were trying to make, and the people came and visit. And then I went to a student counselor, and I told her, I think this is interesting. And she told me, then do this. So I went to CBH Business, did a marketing AP degree in marketing management. And then it kind of just started from there. Then I got a internship in a fintech startup, a crowdfunding startup. And I worked there as I was the intern, but I was leading the marketing team.
I've been there as well.
Yeah. Hey, we're not going to pay you, but you're going to lead everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck with
this. Think of it learning. It's learning.
We're paying you in learnings.
Yeah.
So that was obviously great. And then I took a bachelor's degree in international sales and marketing. And a month before I handed in my bachelor, I went full time in my own business, the thing that eventually became Sober Media. But it was a lot of things under the way. Then I was 25. I had no business experience, and I decided I wanted to be the external CMO of companies, which is now, I think, in today's terms, is the fractional.
Fractional.
And nobody wanted to hire me for that, everybody I say this to, it comes as a huge surprise to them.
It doesn't to me, though. Like
a 25-year-old with no business experience?
5-year-old who wants to be my CMO? Why not?
Sure.
Like, sounds great. I would buy that.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. It started there, and then it was supposed to be a full-service agency, and then it was supposed to be a social shop with creative and social media, and then I kind of landed somewhere, and I was like, what is fun to me? B2B was fun to me. If I weren't doing an agency, I would probably be in software and SaaS because I like that business model. I like all the innovations that's going on in that space. So I kind of decided, well, I am going to focus on this. And then I managed to land a couple of clients. And that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of that. So that was it 2 years ago now? I think I landed in that spot. And then it's been pretty good. 2 years, managed to do a lot of fun stuff, I think. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's kind of the story, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we joined forces in December, right?
Then we joined forces in December. Yep.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. And so I guess if we dive into the meat of where Casper wants to hear is, but like what has, could you give us maybe a couple of the, we want to hear about fuck ups, let's be honest, but always you know, how, the kind of learning curve and how that has gone from being kind of this wannabe fractional CMO to getting your hands really dirty and, you know, how did that actually end you where you are now?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, right? But I think a lot of the fuck-ups is probably me getting overly eager, maybe, and then just wanting to do a lot of stuff and not really niching down, not really focusing and not really saying, well, here's a way to go, right? Mm-hmm. It was really when I then said, okay, B2B marketing for SaaS companies and very much in the demand gen kind of that whole spiel. When I landed in that, it started to gain some traction. So I think that's probably the biggest fuck up from an entrepreneurial view that made me slow down. I think that I wasn't niching in enough and saying, you know, the classic ICP discussion, right? Mm. So that I think that was probably the biggest fuck up on a macro level, and then on a micro there's just been a ton. I think pricing too low.
Pricing too high.
I think without hurting anyone, Frederik, I think we can, like, one of the things I think you never solved on your own before, like, we kind of joined forces here, was this kind of like scaling.
Absolutely.
Scaling motion.
Yes.
And probably big part of that was probably because of pricing.
Yes. Right? It was a big part of it.
Yeah.
Because I think I got burned, and that comes back into like the trying to pick the right customers, because for some reason in my mind I had, well, I'm a newly started company, mm-hmm. or well, this is a newly started company, then I should be talking to newly started companies. And then when I quoted them, I remember I quoted a company, I was like, you got to pay me $6K a month to run your whatever, 3 channels or 2 channels or something like that. $6K a month. And they fucking shamed me, right?
Really? You can't even get a Fiverr to do that.
Like, they were really upset with me.
Okay.
And it was the most rude thing they ever heard in their entire lives.
Wow.
Right? And that was because
Did
it was...
Did they say why?
It was simply just too high. They couldn't imagine paying anybody that kind of money for...
$6K.
Something like that.
For managing
DKK.
2 channels.
Yes.
Not even... What?
Yeah.
For managing 2 channels?
That's insane.
Yeah.
But that was kind of... That's kind of some of the... If we're talking fuck-ups, some of the bigger fuck-ups, it was like, I got in touch with these types of people, and I got in touch with these types of companies that were like... They didn't have any money, and they didn't know why marketing or growth or like that stuff was so important. So I think that was probably a fuck-up too that... Yeah. That I didn't really manage to figure that out, right?
I think that's an interesting point though, because I think with startups, you know, I know that some of the early stage startups I've been in, some of the bootstrap startups, I wouldn't have $6K lying around for a freelancer or essentially a freelancer.
Well, it really depends on what you wanted them to do, right?
Yeah.
Like if it was a garage setup, then I totally get it. But like, you know, if it was a 10-man startup, $6K even for a 10-man startup shouldn't. That's not. This peanuts, right?
But like it wasn't a 10-person startup. It was a 1-person startup.
Mm. Yeah, but even then, quoting someone $6K, like, come on, like you should never shame someone for doing that, right?
No, well, you should never shame anyone for anything.
No,
but
I remember I quote, like, just to transparency wise, like I quoted someone for 2 hours sparring sessions once a month. I quoted them $10K. A retainer. I had that retainer for 2 years almost.
Hot dang.
Yeah.
Well, I remember actually going to you when I asked you, because I was charging like 100 €150 an hour or something for things. And you were like, Jen, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, can I charge more?
And I remember like one of the times you did it, it was like, can I just charge this and see what happens. If they blink, they blink. Then we'll take it from there. Yeah. And then you charge and they're like, they didn't blink. They just said yes.
They just said
like,
yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So it's a learning curve. Yeah. Thank you.
It's very much a learning curve.
I think that happened to me too. Like I remember when I started consulting, the first time I charged like $300 an hour. And then next client I got, it was $350. Because I knew, I was like, okay, let's keep pushing it. Let's see what happens, right? And then at the end of it, like charged $1,500 to $2,500 an hour, right? Like, and that, and I remember there was a sales guy from Templify, Jesko. He was like, dude, just do it. Just say 1500. Like, but I'm saying 1000 today. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
And he didn't fucking blink.
No.
But I think it's, that part is just like also, it's something, it's a lot to do yourself. Like, it's a reflection thing. Like, it, when you quote someone a price, you have to feel that you are worth that price.
Yeah.
And that leap is like, an evolutionary thing.
Like. Yeah. And that's some of the things that I've been reflecting on lately, right?
Yeah.
It's a major imposter syndrome thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to just be real with you, right?
Yeah.
Because I have I kind of landed in a place where now I'm like, it's probably not going to go away, that imposter thing.
No.
So I'm okay with it. And now I'm just going to try and see how, make it a competition, see how much can I take for an hour. So that's where we're at with that. But it is very much so. And I think that ties back into the thing that I said with, I was shamed a little bit and people were almost furious with me. Yeah. Then I started to become afraid that people would get furious with me if I quoted them 1000 an hour, which I thought was that wasn't unfair.
No.
No. So that's probably the biggest fuck up for me was to not do that. Get in touch with the right people at the right time, right? Mm-hmm. That was probably a big one.
I think one of the learnings I've had when it comes to that stuff is also that it's very hard always to raise prices afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So once you set like your first price, like I remember I had a client once, I think they paid $700 an hour for me. And that was like, at that point, that was, when I got them, it was my highest. When I had them a year after, it was by far my lowest.
Right.
Right? So I was like, okay, guys. And they were like, we need more. We want more hours, more time. Like, sure, but You gotta pay $900 or $1,000. I can't remember. And then they fucking ghosted me. So I never heard from them again. But I think some of these beatings are just like a natural part of it.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting too is like when you have that one person army or the five person army, they probably don't understand marketing.
Yeah.
And so when I was doing my freelance thing, you know, people would pay me and they wanted immediate results. And I was like, well, one, you have no brand awareness, you have no SEO, you have absolutely no budget for Google. Like, it's going to take time. And we know these things take time. But when you have no idea how marketing works and you're just a small startup, you want immediate results. And when you don't get those immediate results, you don't see this as a good investment. And then you maybe find the next cheaper person or something like that. Like, they don't understand that SEO takes 6 months to see some kind of return, right? Or if you hire a content freelancer, that content will get a return months down the line. You're not just going to turn on a faucet and all of a sudden you have all this incoming revenue or inbound revenue. And I think that's, I think that's a learning, even as an in-house person who hires agencies, you know, I have to give them some time to kind of have the impact. Otherwise, you're never going to have the impact because you're just going to be bouncing around.
It's so such a good point, right? Because like, I think also when I initially started Sparkforce and also here with Frederick now, it's just some of these, I've started to flip it. Like in the beginning, I was like, okay, let's just see what happens. And we kind of get started and blah, blah, blah. Now I'm like, hey guys, if you can't commit for like at least 3 to 6 months, like, and we're starting to say more and more 6 months, this is like, then we just can't do this.
Yeah.
Like,
we won't have an impact.
It's like not like, but hey, what are the metrics we can look at after 2 months? I'm like, there's metrics, but it's not going to be super like, it's not going to look
great.
It's
vanity metrics.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to be leading stuff.
Leading indicators, right? Like, so I think that, like, it's also our job. And it's kind of one of the things I realized is that we need to be better at managing expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that also goes with your pricing. So your pricing also sets like an expectation bar. Because when you charge more, it's also like, okay, they value your time more. Like, when they're paying you $5,000 an hour, they're not fucking around.
Yeah.
Right? They know, okay, I got to get some stuff out of this. I come prepared. I show up. When they're paying you $200 an hour, they're like, yeah, I didn't actually read the memo. I didn't actually prepare the sheet. I didn't have X, Y, Z, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing I liked about charging more when I grew, at least.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And yeah. I think another, if we're going back to the fuck-ups, that's probably a bigger one, too. I got in the boat of saying, sure, let's evaluate after 14 days. And if
wow.
you're not, because I saw everybody doing it, right? Mm. I saw on Instagram those fuckers, like I saw all that.
14 day or cash
exactly.
back.
Yeah. Exactly. And like 1,000% growth or your money back. Or
in 14 days.
And I was just, that was so ridiculous, right? Yeah, but I kind of fell into that trap, and that was a bad one for me too. So that also meant client churn. But as soon as I pivoted into B2B and it was this demand gen thing, like my churn has been pretty low.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna.
Should we tell the fuck up story or if I,
yeah,
I think this is hilarious because
people
like,
want to know.
Yeah, but I think this is like here we share the real learning. So do you want, I think you should tell it, but
you tell it.
Yeah, tell it. You go ahead.
So. We merge.
Yes.
You acquire Sobi Media.
Yeah.
1st of December this year.
Yes.
And I think a week before, you ask me, "How is your churn looking, Felix? How is everybody like? How is your business looking?" I'm like, my clients never churn. I've had so low churn. Like all the customers that I have right now, they've been customers for I don't know how long. And then on the 14th of December. Two clients churned.
Yeah, yeah.
2 weeks so, in.
Yeah, some 2 or 3 weeks
and
in.
And it was not like there was like that many, so it's kind of like a big chunk, right?
It was a fairly big chunk, to be honest with you. So,
and I just remember like, and I remember you panicked so hard. Like you were so, like your face like dropped.
But I also take that stuff personal.
Of course, you really do. But I think we all do, but you really do.
Yeah.
Fred really fucking does. He takes it super personal.
Yeah. Maybe that's also a little bit of a fuck up or something to work on, but yeah. But
well, like Casper once famously said in a podcast episode, what is it? Fish fly? No, was it birds fly?
Hey.
Fish swim?
Yeah,
fish fly, birds swim, through. And deals fall through.
Birds fly, fish swim, and deals fall through.
Yeah,
yeah. It's still true though. Like, God, it's like insane. Like, I think we had like, it's become like a bit of a nemesis. So we had we just closed a few deals this week, but they're still not closed one in HubSpot, some of them. Like one of them was closed one. We had a kickoff and it's like, we're doing stuff, but there's like a few details in the contract. So I'm like, we're not fucking moving this to closed one until that contract is signed.
Smart.
We don't fuck around anymore.
That's probably the biggest learning, right? Yeah. Don't move shit to close lost until the contract is done.
Yeah.
That's something that I learned too. Right?
Yeah. Close one, close lost. Don't touch it unless... The signature, signatures in. All right. I want to ask a question, Freddie.
Sure.
So, and no, this is going to be super weird because we're here together, right? But how's...
Who's your best partner ever?
No. Fuck off. I want to ask about like the first 3 months here, right? You've been, or 4 months technically,
yep.
but first almost 4 months now. And instead of like asking normal questions, how have they been? More like... Have they met your expectations? Was this what you expected to when you walked into it? Like, maybe that's a better question to get some.
I think overall, yes.
You can be honest.
I will be honest.
Casper,
I think,
leave the room.
I think we have that type of relationship, so I have no problem. I think it has been.
Yeah.
I think I maybe came into it with a little bit of... is that a phrase? Rose-colored glasses? Like But obviously it's a business and obviously it's an agency and people fucking leave whenever they want to in agencies. So obviously it's been a rough quarter, but I also enjoy it. I wrote this on LinkedIn too. My main concern with actually going into business with you was, will I be able to own it? Like, because I crave that.
Yeah.
I need to, that's part of the reason why I became like an entrepreneur and had my own thing. I need to feel some sort of ownership and I need to be like, okay, this is mine, and I can move the needle on this.
Mm-hmm.
and not for somebody else. I needed to do it for me.
Yeah.
And that was probably the biggest concern that I had going into this, but I can. And a big thing is the, like, I take it so personal, not just when the clients that I brought churn, but when something else also churns, like, yeah, it pisses me off.
Yeah.
And it has. I'm super happy that that this was the route we went, and I'm very positive about the future. I think Sparkle Horse has
Sparkle Horse.
It's got a stick now.
Yeah. We need like a gif or some sound gif effect.
We need to sell a mug that says Sparkle Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I buy that.
As you do, you would in a heartbeat.
It has lived up to my expectations.
Yeah.
And I'm very positive about everything, and like going forward, I see a lot of potential. Sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Good answer.
Good answer.
Now turn off the mics and then.
Yeah. Okay.
Casper leaves the room. No. And,
no, but I think, like one of the things we've always been like, I can say this, it's been a bit of a rough quarter. Like, mm-hmm. I think, one of the things that, and it's always like, you have new people joining. It's like, yeah, this is, I don't know if this is normal. I've never tried it before. So yeah. I don't know. Like, this is, I guess this is normal, somewhat normal. It's been a rough quarter. It's not because, like, we lost total 3 clients in a quarter. Mm-hmm. 1 in January and 2 in March now. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, it sucks every time you lose someone, but we gained more. We got more clients than we lost. So I think we got 5 or 6 or something. So technically, that's a step ahead. But I kept talking about it internally, and is that we also lost our first employee. We can talk about that quite soon. Let's not talk about it right now, but when this comes out, you'll hear about it. And it's like whenever it's like taking 2 steps forward and then like taking a step backwards. Mm-hmm. And that's just sometimes a little bit rough, yeah, right? Like I talked – so one of the things when you joined us here is like I've never done this before. Yeah. Like, I've never done this. You've done it a little bit on your own, right, for some longer time, but you haven't done this stage either, and none of us have. Like, mm-hmm. none of us have been 14, 15 people. We're going to be 14 next month. I talked with some agency people, and they said, like, yeah, this is the hard part. This is where it gets tough.
Okay.
Because now the scaling part steps in, because you have to take it to the next level of, like, your – like, 14 getting to the 14, 15 people is easy, but it's easier because you can keep adding a resource and then you keep delivering and you keep adding good resource. Mm-hmm. But now there comes the next part where you have to get middle layer. Like you have to add a layer on top of the layer that already exists. And that's rough because like, and now we face people leaving the company and clients journeying, all that stuff. But you get a lot better. There's a lot of stuff that gets better, but the next part is going to be, it's going to be rough. And I think that this queue kind of showed us, okay, it's time to strap on the tights again. Or I don't know how you say that.
Strap on the tights again. Is that a Danishism?
I don't think so, no.
What do you say that? Like strap on? Like at the?
Don't say strap on.
Don't say strap on.
No, strap on. So I got you. You got me. But I think point being, it's gonna be interesting. But you joined at an interesting time, man.
Yeah, like, I can feel it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming up on 25 minutes here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions, Jen? Anything you want to cover?
My questions are about demand gen, which we're going to talk about in the next episode. So yeah. I'm going to save that for the juicy, you know, marketing specific stuff.
Yes,
but I think, I think whenever I hear about kind of entrepreneurial journeys, I think it's really interesting, and I think a lot of our listeners are either entrepreneurs or one person armies, small person armies. So it's always interesting to hear as someone who's like an in-house of a 12-person team to hear that other side of, you know, the people who build it from the ground up. And this is what I've said to you multiple times. I tried it. It was not for me. No. I don't have the thick skin to handle it. So
you really need it.
You really need it. Man. Yeah. You which really I don't have.
Yeah.
So, hats off to you guys and everyone out there who has the courage to do it and stick through the tough times.
Thanks.
Because, it wasn't for me. So, with that being said, thank you for sharing your journey and your fuck ups. Sure. And
I want to add one thing
Before
we end. I think this is also for the people listening. Typically, we have a lot of new marketeers or senior marketeers, but I think your story, Frederick, is interesting because it's very different than ours, right? Like your story, like I did a bit more classic, like startup, scale up, like worked in marketing for a bunch of years, became head of marketing, and then had my consultant thing on the side, and then I did it, right? Where you went the opposite. You just like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, you just started, right?
Yeah. And maybe looking backwards, that probably wasn't the best idea. But, well, but I mean...
But it still got you here, right?
It got you here.
Yeah.
So, like... And I actually, like, just to be honest, like, one of the things I had questioned by some people, some advisors and stuff before we merged together was like, hey, does this guy know his shit? Like, is he good enough? Like, and I was like... I've talked to him. I think he's good enough. He seems good enough. But that was because you took the like reverse journey.
Yeah.
Like someone like me or Jen or something, right? But that's just to goes to show you can still get there, right?
Sure. At some way. But yeah, I mean, looking back on that, I probably should have taken a couple of years before I become an entrepreneur, but or starting my own company now. But this is like can't change that. And now here we are.
It is,
and I mean, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and this is when you're talking about entrepreneurship, and like you can't really not talk about mindset. And I've been saying to myself for a long time, like I might be behind now, but I will lab everybody, and here we are, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm not. I think it's great. I think it's always interesting to hear people who've like. It's not like we've made it yet, but we're in a good part, right? We're in a good path right now. But if you take I remember listening to an interview with the founder of NVIDIA, right? Like one of the most valuable companies right now, like booming ahead. And he was asked, hey, would you do it all over again? And he was like, fuck no. And he's a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, if with everything I know now, I wouldn't do it again. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Because that, like, yes, he became a billionaire. Yes, he made it. And of course, it's super privileged to sit in a position and say that, right? Mm-hmm. He has his pool. He has his car. He has whatever he wants, sure. Right? But I think it's still an interesting perspective to be like, hey, would you do it again? I wouldn't do it again.
Mm.
Yeah. And we're in it right now. So fuck yeah, I'm going to pull through. I'm going to go all the way. But will I, when I look back in 10 years, will I be like, hey, would I have done it again? I don't know. Mm. Who knows?
I mean, I know I would.
Yeah.
I know I say that I probably should have taken a couple of years, but I don't think that my learning curve would have been as steep as it has been.
And that's the thing, right?
And now I'm here and I know how to fucking read a budget and...
Yeah.
Right?
You're killing it.
Yeah. There's... And when I'm looking at my friends who went the traditional route, now I have a guy, he's also working in an agency. He's been there for I don't know how long. And is he stuck there? Looks like it, right?
Yeah.
But now... Yeah, I did this and everything is, I think everything is moving. And I think, yeah, the personal development side of it is just, it's just outpaced everything, right? And that's the most important thing, I think.
I think I think that's a really good strong note to end on is it is a mentality thing, right? Like I'm not an entrepreneur, but I have the mentality of learning.
You have the mindset though.
Yeah, mindset, learning and growing and learning and growing.
It's
and
a growth mindset.
It's a growth mindset. Like there's, we call it fuck ups, but it's actually, you've learned a lot. Like
exactly.
I learned to read a budget because I fucked up a budget, you know, and
exactly.
I've learned about hiring people because I fucked up hiring.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of not letting, even though I'm saying I don't have the thick skin for entrepreneurship, but I don't let things knock me down and go, I'm just going to give up.
Yeah.
I just fight internally in-house. But I think, and that's maybe good advice to end on for our listeners of, you know, the growth mindset, not giving up, but always learning. You got to know when to cut your losses, right? We talk about that, beating the dead horse. Like if it's done, it's done. Move on to the next thing, but never really, you know, let it kill you. Let it make you stop.
Agreed.
Agreed.
And on that note, let's jump to next episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in,
guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.